For this morning, let's go to our scripture reading, which can be found in the book of Matthew. And we are just going to read one short little verse, Matthew chapter 6, verse number 13. And that will get us started in the right direction for the message that's coming up here. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 13. And this is part of the Sermon on the Mount and part of the Lord's Prayer. We know this. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Let's stand for a short time while this one little verse is being read here this morning. Verse number 13. And this is Jesus speaking to the disciples who have asked him to, this is how we should pray. Verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Let's pray. Father, it's just one short little verse, but it says a whole lot. This is how your son Jesus wanted us to pray. And so, Father, this is how we need to pray. So what is it that we need to learn about this one verse? What is it that we need to learn about going to you in prayer? And what is it that we need to learn about evil? So, Father, I pray that you guide the words that I'm about to say this morning. May they be holy and pleasing to you. And I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Today is our fourth week in a sermon series that I have titled Shepherd the Flock. And I have titled today's message, Deliver Us from Evil. I'm thinking that this will be the last message in this series, but you never know. So we'll see. But I plan on this being the last message. Next week, we'll move on to something different. In 1 Peter chapter 5, it says this. A man who serves as an elder, because this is what kicked us off 3 weeks ago. A man who wants to serve as an elder in a church or as a pastor, 4 points that were brought up. Number one. Is willing to do so. He is not hesitant. He is not reluctant. Number two, is eager to serve the flock, serve the congregation. Number three, does not usurp his authority over others. This man is not power hungry. And number four, does not do this for dishonest gain, or as the King James Bible says, for filthy lucre. And yes, I love those words. Filthy lucre. It just sounds so mean. It doesn't do it for a dishonest gain, filthy lucre. So these are some of the characteristics of the man who shepherds the flock, the pastor of a church, part of the church leadership. But what about the shepherd's duties? He must care for the people in the congregation. We know that. He must care for them physically. We talked a little bit about that several weeks ago. But more important, the shepherd must care for the congregation spiritually. And there are some dangers out there, some spiritual dangers out there that want to come in here. And I will simply define those threats as evil. We'll just use that term because that's what they are. Evil, those threats from the outside, have already infiltrated pastors. They have infiltrated churches. And they have infiltrated denominations, which in turn have corrupted the impact that the gospel can make in society. And today I want to conclude this series by identifying several forms, and actually many forms of evil, that the shepherd is responsible for keeping out of the church. Okay? In what we call the Lord's Prayer, found in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, or found in Luke chapter 11, verses 2 through 4, we are told to pray that the Lord deliver us from evil, or from the evil one. Same thing. We know the words, and deliver us, and we lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We've said it 1,000 times anytime that we have recited the Lord's Prayer. Do we also pray, and we pray for ourselves, and that is okay. Do we also pray that the Lord will keep evil out of the church? I think that's a good prayer that we could pray. So let's look at, we got, I think, 5 fill in the blanks in our bulletin here this morning. Let's look at them, and let's put them up here on the screen. Number 1, the worst form of evil comes in the form of a false gospel. It comes in the form of a false gospel. There are many forms of evil out there, and we know that, that can radically disturb and diminish our walk with Jesus Christ. But a false gospel will never save anyone. A false gospel will never lead anybody to Jesus Christ. A false gospel damns people to the pits of hell. Paul tells the Galatians in chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, and I have one verse up here, is that he's very concerned about those who are preaching and speaking a false gospel in the church. And he says this, "As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse," or "let them be accursed." Or the King James, another word I love, "let them be anathema." Let them be accursed. It is not a good thing to preach a gospel other than the one that we find in the Word of God. And there is nothing, nothing the enemy loves more than when the shepherd presents a false gospel or any part of the Word of God that is contrary to the truth, and he presents that to the congregation. I believe, and I've said this many times, there are too many unqualified people who want to assume the position of a pastor or a teacher. What does James 3:1 tell us? He says this, "that not many of you should become teachers, knowing that we will incur a stricter judgment." Yes, we are all told to go on out and share the gospel with other people. But as a teacher or as a preacher, people in my position, I am going to be judged much stricter than what you will be for sharing the gospel message with others. I better get it right. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, speak about the shepherd shepherding the flock. Yes. And just after that, in verse number 8, we are told this, "to be sober-minded, to be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." Satan wants to devour me, and he wants to devour you. Next, fill in the blank. Satan does not want to fight the church. He wants to join it. He does his best destruction from within. The enemy wants this church and every other church to self-destruct. And he wants to use me to do that. And he wants to use you to do that. So what are some of the tools that, besides false teaching, that the enemy is going to use to make that happen, to get us to try to self-destruct? Just generally speaking, this. He wants to pit us against each other. He wants us to be upset about issues that really, in the scheme of things, have no consequence whatsoever. He wants us to disagree about the color of the carpet. He wants us to disagree about the paint on the wall. He wants us to disagree about the size of the parking lot, or the exterior lighting, or taking trees down, or which one should grow and which one should stay. He wants us to disagree about issues about the cemetery. He wants us to disagree about where we are going to buy the fried chicken for our next meal. And he wants us to disagree and complain about who helps and who doesn't when we have such events. He wants to pit us against each other. And I'm pretty sure you know where I'm going with this. Even with us having Christ as our Savior, our human condition still wants its own way, don't we? Sometimes. And we allow the enemy to use little trivial issues like these to bring discontent and division into the body, which will lead us to our third fill in the blank. When we allow the enemy to devour one of us, it has the potential for devouring all of us. Well, where do I get that? Galatians 5:15 says it about as well as it can be said. If you bite and devour each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. So have we asked the Lord to deliver this church from evil? Have we asked God to intervene in our lives in those times where we feel like we just might want to get ugly with a brother or sister in Christ? And there are times when the shepherd needs to step in and bring us all back into a path of righteousness. And personally, I'd prefer to nip this issue in the bud today before it ever begins to happen. And that's why I'm speaking this message today. So we all know that we don't want to bite and devour each other. So we have seen the worst kind of evil in the form of a false gospel. We have talked about the evil that church people can do to each other if we allow the enemy to take control of us. So that's evil from the pulpit, from the gospel. I could preach a false gospel. And it's evil among all of us, among the people. And we have a couple more directions I'd like to go. And that is this. We talked about from within the church. There's evil out there. And let's talk about that. Let's talk about the evil in the world. In John chapter 10, verses 1 through 21, Jesus speaks of himself as the good shepherd. It's one of his seven I am statements that he gives. And we can read that text and we understand his position as the good shepherd. It's very easy to understand what he's saying there. But in verse number 12 in John chapter 10, he talks about a person called the hired hand. And the context of what Jesus is saying in these passages is that the hired hand is someone who does not perform his job correctly. And Jesus says this, that the hired hand is not the shepherd. So he leaves and allows, when the wolf comes, and allows the wolf to attack the sheep. Very easy to understand. And we know this. Satan is the author of evil, right? We know that. He's the author of evil. In John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus tells us that Satan is the father of all lies. So the question I'm going to ask here this morning is this. Does the world attempt to influence the church with evil? And the answer to that is pretty obvious. Absolutely, it's trying to influence us. Can the world be the wolf? Absolutely. A lot of times the world is the wolf. Which leads me to the next question. Would we agree that if there was evil out there in this world, that the shepherd, the elder, in this case, me, should I let you know about that evil that's out there and wants to come in here? I think that's pretty obvious. I think the answer would be yes. Yes. That I should do that. If I don't, then I'm just like the hired hand in John chapter 10, verse 12, who leaves when the wolf comes around and leaves the flock untended. But that is not what the shepherd has been called to do. The shepherd needs to be able to recognize evil, and the shepherd better be able to guard the sheep when that evil comes around. As I was growing up, my mother would tell me not to associate with certain other children in the neighborhood because she said that these other kids would be a bad influence on me. Why would my mother even say anything like that? Answer, because she wanted to deliver me from evil. And if you have ever been a parent, I guarantee you have done the exact same thing. So what is it that's out there in this world that I need to caution this church about? Well, just about everything, right? Let me go through a quick laundry list here, and then I'm going to get real specific. We must be careful when we are surfing the internet. There are very tempting sites out there. We must be careful of the places that we visit. Don't go to the bar if you struggle with alcohol. We must be careful in our place of employment. Do not let another man or another woman who is not your spouse, do not allow them to steal your heart. And whatever you do, show some discernment with what you watch on TV and the books that you read. I'm going to go in a direction here this morning that maybe some would rather I don't go. But if we're all in agreement that the shepherd must protect the flock, and I believe that we are, then let me introduce you to one of the biggest evil threats in America today. And folks, that evil is coming from our government and from politics. There was a time in America when politics concerned itself with things like foreign policy, taxation, and immigration, and healthcare, and global defense, and the environment, and the space program, and the military, and even today, if there is such a thing or not as global warming. But today, our government and politics have gone far beyond that. Today, our government is now walking on God's turf. They are walking and treading on this. The government is meddling in moral issues, and they are now telling us what is right and what is wrong. So, let's go to our next fill in the blank. It is evil when any government system legislates laws contrary to the word of God. It's that simple, my friends. And what some of what our government here in the United States of America is proliferating, folks, is purely satanic and it's pure evil. The government is telling us that there is no such thing as absolute truth. Get this, I just read this a week ago. There is actually a city in Texas who wants to pass legislation that every sermon that's going to be preached on a Sunday morning must be first approved by their city council. To make sure that nothing offensive will be said. The government condones sex outside of marriage by issuing condoms to school children. It's a government program. The government approves and defends the LGBTQ agenda and behavior, and it is a hate crime if we don't comply and agree. And the government has been telling us since 1973 that abortion is no longer murder. It's a choice, and it's the right of every woman. Oh, the government preaches tolerance, but are totally intolerant to Christians and our Bibles. And that, my friends, is evil. It and the people who are behind these matters must be brought to light. And no, I will not be doing any name calling this morning. And I don't care if they are Democrat or Republican or somewhere in between or somewhere to the extremes. We are all educated citizens, with the resources to find out who these people are behind these evils who go against the Word of God. It is no longer government legislation laws about health care or foreign policy. They are now trying to legislate the Word of God. And we, as Christians, cannot support evil. Let me say that again. We, as Christians, cannot support evil and those who condone and promote it. Amen. Let me say that again. We, as Christians, cannot support evil and those who condone and promote it. So what are we going to, Mike, what should we do? We say the same thing the apostle said in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, when they were confronted with a very similar situation. Peter says this, we must obey God rather than men. It's that simple. Who is our master? Yes, we are supposed to obey the government. But when the government usurps this, we obey what? This. We obey this. The government. And it's not going to get any better. One more. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14 tells us that Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. He looks clean. He looks acceptable. He looks inviting. He looks wonderful on the outside. But on the inside, he is the wolf seeking someone to devour. Our fourth and final fill in the blank says this. Sometimes evil looks so good on the outside, doesn't it? Beware of smiling faces. Beware of the wink of the eye. Beware of the smooth talk. In 1971, there was a song that was out that was titled Smiling Faces. And it was by a one-hit wonder group called The Undisputed Truth. Some of the words of that song go like this. This song is 49 years old. Done by a secular group in secular society. And I quote, smiling faces sometimes pretend to be your friend. Smiling faces show no traces of the evil that lurks within. Smiling faces, sometimes they don't tell the truth. Beware of the handshake that hides the snake. Beware of the pat on the back. It just might hold you back. Jealousy, misery, envy. I tell you, you can't see behind smiling faces. Smiling faces sometimes don't tell the truth. End quote. 1971, a secular song that really has a lot of good, solid Bible truth to it. Beware of the many people and the entertaining worship bands. Beware of the promises of a better you or a better life now. Beware of the promised monetary reward for sowing your seed money into their ministry. As Jesus says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. Beware. Evil, it comes in the form of a false gospel. Evil, it can come in the form of any one of us. Evil, it can be legislated by government. And evil, sometimes it looks so good on the outside. I have been charged as the pastor of this church in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, to shepherd the flock. Beware, my friends, of evil and where it can come from. Because the devil, he's out there. He's out there to get me. He's out there to get you. We cannot allow him to win. Remember the words of Irene, my mom. There are just some certain kids in the neighborhood that we shouldn't be playing with. Let's go to God in prayer.